Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Very shortly, I want to share with us the word of the Lord. Last night, we began to consider and try to explain the personality that we have come to worship. We call him the God of wonders. And in an attempt just to understand him, in an attempt to give definition to him, we decided to look through some scriptures. Even though it is futile to try to explain this God, in order to give direction to our worship, in order to give definition to our faith, it's needful for us to attempt to define him. Because he has no beginning and no end, the only way we can attempt to understand him is through the things that he does. Because the things that he do and does and will always do, there is no other personality that can do that. And so, for instance, yesterday, we read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible said, in the beginning, he said, God created the heavens and the earth. And we said, that alone is enough to occasion worship to this God. Because as far as we know, the beginning is the origin. Nothing exists before the beginning. Except beginning is not what beginning is. If beginning is what beginning is, then beginning is the origin. Nothing exists before the beginning. But there's a God that is superior to the beginning. There's a God that existed before the beginning. Because even the beginning is a reference point in him. So the very introduction of the Bible suggests to us that there's a supreme being that is outside our reference. And because it's outside our reference, the only thing we can do that is reasonable is to worship him. The second thing we saw from that scripture is that they didn't try to introduce him. Because you don't introduce the one that existed before the beginning. Everything and everyone came to meet him. He's before everyone. Because he created us, we are all determined to know him intrinsically. And so without an introduction, you know there's a God. The top thing we saw from that one verse of scripture, apart from the fact that he's bigger than the beginning, apart from the fact that he needs no introduction, is the fact that he created all things. Take a look around you for a second. Everything you are seeing, the ones that is touchable, the one that is tangible, and the one that is intangible, this God we are talking about created it. And so because of this boisterous scripture, we cannot but call him the God of wonders. And I said, if he was before the beginning, that means there is no problem in your life that cannot be solved by him. Because before that problem came, he was. And when that problem is gone, he will still be. Because he's the creator of all things, it means he has authority to permit and to forbid. And so if there's anything in your life that he did not permit, he has the authority to forbid it. He doesn't need to seek permission from a doctor. He doesn't need to seek permission from a landlord. He doesn't need to seek permission from a deity. If he says yes, it's yes. If he says no, it's no. Nobody can question him, because he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so I give the decree to you tonight, that affliction you have suffered till now, the God of heaven says enough is enough. The God of heaven says no to it tonight. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what men say. Tonight God says an end to your affliction. If you are the one I'm talking to, you jump up and shout hallelujah. Yeshua, Hamashiach, Lion of Judah. I'm getting excited already, because I know that even tonight he will show himself strong. You know, yesterday we said again, in order to further buttress that is a God of wonders, he began to decree impossible things. In Isaiah 7 verse 14, he told the prophet, tell the people, a virgin shall give birth. And the people were in bewilderment. They said, no, Lord, virgins don't give birth. Because according to the law of reproduction, a woman must meet with a man. The sperm must fertilize the ovum before a child is formed. If there is no interaction between a man and a woman, there is no way a child can be formed. And when this God declared it, even though it was natural, impossible, he's talking from a realm superior to the natural. And so the angel came to a virgin and said, you will be with child. Even the virgin did not believe. He said, how shall these things be? Since I was a child, now I'm grown up. I've never seen a virgin give birth. I myself was born of a woman that a man met. How can I give birth without a child? And he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the Higher shall overshadow you. And someone will be formed on your inside. When God speaks, even if there is no man, a child will come forth. Because he's a God of wonders. And so I came to announce to you tonight that thing you are going through, they have told you need a helper. They have told you somebody must help you. They have told you must go somewhere. I came to tell you tonight, whether men like it or not, there is a God in heaven. And he sent us to announce to you that today your answer comes to your hand. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible is an interesting book. It shows us impossibilities that were made possible. And because of this, we are commanded to obey God. We are commanded to worship God. We are commanded to serve God. We are commanded to follow God. Because there is nothing we need that the Lord cannot make available. And so in Psalm 16 verse 4, he said their sorrows shall be multiplied. They are hasting after another God. There are many people in the world today, because they need money, they have gone to bow to an idol. There are many people today, because they need a child, they have gone to strange gods. There are many people today, because they need healing, they have gone to bow to a stone. But the God that created the heavens and the earth, he said their sorrows shall be multiplied. Because there is no answer with stone, there is no answer with an iron, there's no answer with an idol. Only the God of heaven can provide results. The result that prospers. So he said, in case you are not aware and you have pursued an idol, this is the verdict of the spiritual. Their sorrow shall be multiplied. Why do we preach the gospel? Because we came to inform the world that what they are pursuing, abundance of it is already in God. Because in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life. He should have eternal life. And in Romans 8:32, he said, if God did not withhold his only Son but freely give him for us, he said, how shall he not withhold him? How shall he not with him give us every other thing? We preach the gospel because we came to tell you that whatever it is you are pursuing, there is a verdict already that it will result in multiplication of sorrow. But if you come to God and accept his Son as your Lord, he will not only give you life, he will give you all things that pertain to life. In John chapter 10 verse 10, he said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you may have life, and life to the abundance. Let me tell you something quickly, brothers. When the devil wants to kill you, he doesn't appear with two horns. He has a very subtle strategy. So he will come to you like a genuine helper and tell you this business you are doing. You have struggled for 10 years. Why not add this and this to this business? There is a river down the line. There is a river at the end of the village. If you go there by 12 midnight, you will meet somebody. All you need is to take a bath. The moment you take a bath, the business will begin to prosper. All you need is to chew a cola nut. If you chew it, the business will prosper. But the Bible says the agenda of the devil is not to prosper you. Because before you met him,
come to me.
The one that created all things, know him. And he said, before you were born, there was a manifesto in the spirit. You know, when politicians are vying for a position, that's what they call a manifesto. Sometimes they even engage in a debate. And so they will come and tell you, when I am empowered, I'm going to build roads for you. I'm going to give you light. I'm going to give you water. The idea of the manifesto is to lure you, to allow them gain authority over you. How many of you know what politicians do when they go into power? They forget about the road. They forget about the light. They forget about the water. The devil is worse than a politician. And I am not saying every politician is bad. There are some God-fearing politicians, and they are rising from the church. But I'm telling us tonight that the wicked politicians that you call wicked, the devil is worse than them. So when he comes to tell you he wants to prosper your business, the word of the Lord made us to understand that before he came to you, there was a manifesto in the spirit. And in this manifesto of the spirit, every spirit was declaring what he will do when he goes to men. The reason is because we were not there when the world was created, but the angels were there. And some angels are now falling, and they have become wicked devils. Now, before man was created, before the earth was recreated, every spirit had a manifesto. There are some spirits that said they will help men. Those ones are angels of God. And so God sent them to help men. When Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible said angels came and helped him. When he was in Gethsemane, they said angels came and helped him. But there are other spirits that also did their manifesto. So in that general assembly, when the devil did his manifesto, he said, when I go to men, I will only kill, I will only steal, I will only destroy. So if you are here tonight and you think the devil does well, it's a lie. That's why when he wants to lead you into fornication, it looks as if it's a wonderful feeling. After the fornication, you now discover there's HIV in the bloodstream. He didn't tell you that HIV will be transmitted. After the fornication, suddenly you get pregnant out of wedlock, and then he inspires you to go to a doctor. He inspires somebody to give you money, and you collect the money. You say, this person is nice. The person that gave you money for abortion is not nice. He's an agent of the devil. When you eventually go for the abortion, before the abortion, he will make the doctor to be drunk the night before. And the doctor will come to the theater with hangover. And then you think this is an expert. When the abortion is concluded, the doctor looks at you and goes like this. He said, we are very sorry. We did our best. But while the operation was going on, we could not save your fallopian tube. So we had to cut off your womb. And then for the rest of your life, you now discover you are without a womb. Sometimes, while the abortion is going on, even the person in question dies. But when it started, it was an excitement that I will have a feeling of pleasure. Feeling of pleasure resorted to sickness. Feeling of pleasure resorted to unwanted pregnancy. Feeling of pleasure resorted into abortion. Abortion resorted in the loss of a womb. abortion resulted in death. Because there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the end of it is death. And the one that shows that way, the one that shows that way, his name is the devil. And he has deceived a lot of people. But this is the good news tonight. Whatever the devil does, God has the power to change it. That's why he said the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but the devil is not the only one that came. I know you have sinned. I know you have consulted demons. But the devil is not the only one that came. There is another one that came. His name is called the Prince of Peace, the Mighty Counselor. The government of this world shall be upon his shoulder. He's called the Light of the World. He's called the one that sets my feet from darkness. And he said, I am come that you may have life. And he didn't just say you will have life, he said you will have abundant life. So I came to decree to you tonight, whatever the devil stole from you, whatever you lost because of the devil, by the authority of the risen Christ, the Son of the living God, you will receive a thousandfold. If you believe that, shout amen. Shout hallelujah. I tell you a story. I shared it with them yesterday. The Bible said there was a woman with the issue of blood. And he said three things about this woman. Number one, he said the woman had spent all her money. You know what that means? She has done everything there is to do to succeed. Number two, the Bible said that the woman could not be healed. The woman could not be healed. In fact, she had a stigma. People didn't call her by her surname. They called her as the woman with the issue of blood. Have you seen somebody who is so down that they now use their circumstance to define them? This is the situation we are looking at tonight. But the Bible said in that condition, she said to herself, I have heard about you, Jesus, the Son of the living God. And I was told, no one ever went to him, that he sent back empty handed. I know I have tried my best. I have gone to doctors. The doctors have tried their best. I know they told me I cannot be healed. Why not I try this, Jesus? And the Bible says, she said to herself, I will rise up. I don't even need him to talk to me. If I can only but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. You know what that means? That means God has more than enough. You determine how you receive your own. Somebody can call upon his name. Somebody can touch his garment. Somebody can dance his way. So long as you believe, you can be made whole now. Because weeping may endure for the night. He said joy comes in the morning. He said our light affliction are but for a moment. They work for us an exceeding weight of glory. He said, but for that to happen, we will not look at the things that are seen. We will look at the things that are unseen. I know your health is failing. I know your business is failing. I know your job is failing. But if you will look away from your business and look up to Jesus tonight, the power that raised him from the dead, the same power will make you whole. I am prophesying to someone now. You are in the pit right now, but in the name of Jesus, come out. You are in a crisis right now, but in the name of Jesus, your deliverance is now. If you believe that, shout the loudest hallelujah. This same Jesus In John chapter 11, the Bible says, they sent to him, and they said, your friend Lazarus is sick. And he looked as if he didn't care. After 2 days, they came to him and said, Lazarus is dead. But you know, if he's the God of all possibilities, it doesn't matter if the person is sick or dead. The same power that heals the sick, the same power that raised the dead. And when men think he's worse, in the realm of God, is more glorious. So God is not moved by the size of your challenge. So when they heard that Lazarus was dead, he said, this is the time for glory. If he was sick and I went there, they'll say maybe it's the help they gave him last week. But now that he's dead, men have given up. God will show up now. And he said to his friends, he said, Lazarus is asleep. Let's go and wake him up. How can you call death sleep? If you are a God, anything you call it, that's what it is. And when he showed up, the sisters ran to him and wept. If you were here, our brother would not have died. If you were here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus looked unto her majestically and he said, I'm not moved by death. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will not die. And even if you were dead, you will live again. And the woman said something which some of you are saying tonight. You say, I know that at the resurrection she will rise again. There is somebody here that God is saying, your miracle is now. And you are saying, next week it will happen. You are saying, next month it will happen. Jesus said, no. I am not talking about the day of resurrection. I am talking about the resurrection himself. I have come here now. And he said, your brother will live. But Jesus gave us a code. In verse 40, John chapter 11. He said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And so the question tonight is, do you believe? The moment Martha said, Lord, I believe. Jesus said, where did they keep him? The son is in the tomb. He has been there for 4 days. By now he should be stinking. And Jesus said, roll the stone away. And he stood there. And he said, I thank you, oh Father, because you always hear me. There is no such thing as it happened yesterday, it won't happen today. It happens every day because you always hear me. And when he finished, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said, him that was dead came back to life. I don't know what that your death situation is, but tonight I call it by name. And I say, come forth. I say, come forth. I say, come forth. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that have died, I call it by name. I say, come forth. Somebody give the Lord a shout. suddenly I started talking about Jesus. Why would I go into such dichotomy? Because the Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 1, it said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the God that created the heavens and the earth. I came to name him before you. His name is Jesus. And so if you will believe him tonight, you will see a glory you have never seen. I know you have struggled. You are not the first. The Bible said the woman with the issue spent all her money, and she was not getting better. But this is our consolation, that God that dwells in heaven became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And when he was to leave, he said, "This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. In my name they will speak in new tongues. Even if they drink any deadly thing," he said, "it shall by no means hurt them." He said, "they will step upon scorpions and serpents. It shall by no means hurt them." And he said, "even if they lay their hands on the sick shall recover." That means sickness has no power over us anymore. Because the name of the Lord is a strong power. The righteous runneth therein, and they are saved. This is my counsel to you tonight. Forget about your struggle. Forget about how long it has been. All you need to do is believe tonight. And this is how you believe. You say, "My time is now. My miracle is now. I receive it now. I take it now. Nothing can take it from me." Like blind Bartimaeus, you will shout tonight and say, "I take my healing. I take my breakthrough. I take my promotion." Are you ready to receive your healing? Wherever you are, whether you are lying or on ground, jump up to your feet and begin to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. People are healed already. The Bible said in Psalm 107 verse 20, it said he sent his word. The word healed them and delivered them from all the affliction. I was in Yola in Adamawa State. Before I started preaching, I mounted the podium and I released the word of the Lord. Before I ever prayed, there was a young man with bandage on his leg. The bone was broken. He had two crutches. The moment I stepped in, the guy threw the crutches away and began to run helter skelter. He scattered the service because he sent his word and his word healed them. I attended a miracle service. I was talking like this and sharing the word of the Lord. And there was an old man that had a crutch. He was visibly walking in pain. While the word was going on, he became charged. And before we prayed, he dropped the stick and he began to walk. And as he was walking, the pain began to go. Because every time a man put his face to walk, every time a man put his faith to work, he challenges the integrity of God. Because when God sees faith, it becomes impossible for God not to act. He said, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." That means with faith, God is not just pleased. God is manipulated to act. You want to put your faith to work tonight? I'm about to speak the word in your direction. You may have growth in your body. You may be deaf on your ear. You may be blind on your eyes. There may be pains all over
over your body. You may be suffering under affliction, but at the instance of the war, there will be a total transformation. There will be a total deliverance. Are you ready to receive your war? Are you ready to receive your war? Lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command every demon manipulating your life, manipulating your business, manipulating your body, now in the name of Jesus, be bound, be bound. Blinding demons, deafening demons, pain causing demons, bone causing conditions, blood causing demons, causing infections and infirmities, in the name of Jesus, be bound. Come out of their bodies. Come out of their bodies. Come out of their bodies. I command demons frustrating your businesses. Your hold is broken. Your hold is broken. I command demons letting them walk and see. In the name of Jesus, be bound. Be bound. Come out of their bodies. Come out of their circumstance. Now, eyes that couldn't see, begin to see. Ears that couldn't hear, begin to hear. Bones that were broken, be healed in the name of Jesus. I command clothes vanish. Have conditions. Be healed. Heart conditions. Be healed. Liver conditions. Kidney conditions. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every pain in the body, get out of their bodies. Get out of their bodies. Receive your healing now. Receive your breakthrough now. Receive your recovery now. Receive your restoration now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Last night, we just gave the word like this.
I just put your
a man struggling with body arthritis. He could not as much as clap his hand or walk with his feet. But according to the word of the Lord, every arthritis pain left. We saw here last night a woman with a stiffened bone. She couldn't even bend. The bones were healed immediately. I don't care whatever you came with. Now, in the name of Jesus, receive your answers. Receive your answers. Take it now. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. Before I take testimonies, usually, as an act of faith, I get people to sing and dance. Because we are not hoping that God will touch you. We know, like we know our name, that you are already touched. Growth will leave people's bodies. Bone conditions will be healed. People with partial blindness, complete blindness will be healed. In the name of the Lord. I was in Mubi in Adamawa State. A woman in her late 70s, completely blind. She could not even hear English. And there was no interpretation. She didn't know what I said cognitively. But she responded to the power. Eyes opened. And she saw immediately. Whatever it is holding you bound, as we begin to dance, the property of the devil will fall off. And they will hear that which God has given you. Are you ready to dance to your breakthrough? Are you ready to dance to your healing? Who is taking us there?
Somebody shout!
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, Kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.